And Pierre LeBrun, our hockey insider, is also in studio here.
Is there going to be anybody left by Monday?
So I shouldn't say this probably publicly, but I could care less. So I know that it bothers James Duthie and a lot, and we have a show to do, and our show's always terrific. But as an insider whose job is to just work on trades, if there are trades or are not trades, I can't control that.
Right.
I will work on them if they're there. If they're not there, that's life.
Right.
I'm just going to put that out there.
Yeah, but let's hope for more trades.
Yeah, we want a good show.
More interesting.
We want a good show, yeah.
Well, what's explain this deal between Toronto and Florida.
Yes. You know,
in terms of the optics, right? Like, these are inconsequential players for the most part. Mason Marchment leaving, Malgin coming in. Malgin's 23, he's 5'9". I mean, that's what most people here are focused on. Seems like every other guy Kyle Dubas wants to get. As long as you're under 6 feet, Dubas will take you. But these two teams are focused on the exact same position. Why are they making a trade?
It's interesting.
Like, I appreciate it, because they both have to explain it to their fan bases, but I'm sure people in Florida, like, you're making a deal with the Leafs? What are you doing here?
Yeah, it's interesting. So I reached out to Dale Talon today, and because I had sort of the same idea. I was perplexed because the two teams, it's going to be one of these two teams for the third place in the Atlantic.
Right.
Now labeled the spot no one wants. and that's what Dale Talon revealed. That Dennis Malgin has asked for a trade repeatedly over the last several weeks. His agent, Peter Svoboda, also confirmed that to me.
How does a guy that I've never heard of demand a trade?
I mean, he's bounced around that lineup. And so to answer your question, I know the Leafs have had their eye on this guy for a bit. They see upside with a change of scenery in this guy. It's bottom six guy, but he's got some skill. He's not a big guy, ironically, and you know, what Dale Talon likes in Marchment is that he likes the grit and physicality that he brings to his lineup. But at the end of the day, I think the Leafs view this as they sign Marchment as a UFA, right, and turn him into a younger skill guy, or they hope a guy that can show his skill. We'll see. Could be a nothing trade at the end of the day, but it would be funny if one of those two players at the end of the day, if these two teams are separated by a point, does something for either team.
I could see that. Like, you know, Noggin scores.
Just takes one thing.
Yeah, like a goal late in a game, even if it's, you know, game would, like, 10 to go or whatever.
I don't dislike Malgin. Like, I've watched him there in Florida. Like, his career high is 11 goals in 51 games a couple years ago for the Panthers. He's a small skilled guy. I don't personally see Marchment. Like, I'm not sure if he's an everyday guy. So I'm thinking Florida is probably there's a bigger picture maybe.
Well, like, and they're they're among the more active teams right now, from what I can tell from talking to other.
That's kind of what
league.
I'm sensing is like Malgin, they're clearing that player out. Marchman can go down. Like there might be something else on the horizon. Florida's. I don't know if they're all in, but they have to be. They have to be at least showing. They signed a goaltender for $10 million. They identified that's what they wanted. I think they need depth at D, and you know they can score. That's the same, you know, that the narrative here in Toronto, but you know they need help. So I it wouldn't surprise me if they did something a little bigger than a Malkin for or Malgin.
I think they have the potential to be the total wild card of this trade deadline. The team that the Leafs are battling for third in the Atlantic, for all the reasons you just outlined, Noodles. But they really, really, really need a top four D.
Yeah.
I don't know if they need it more than Toronto.
Yeah, exactly.
But they really need one. They're loaded offensively. They also feel, by the way, and this is where maybe they're a bit different than the Leafs, they feel they have guys ready to jump up from the A. I mean, you think of Owen Tippett. They have guys they feel are ready, too. So, you know, they've listened on Mike Hoffman. They've listened on Vincent Trocheck. Doesn't mean they're going to move any of them. But I've talked to a couple teams this week that said, man, Florida's really getting out there trying to understand what they could do. Maybe they do nothing.
Well, I mean, they're different. They're dealing with a very different marketplace. Not that they necessarily concern themselves with that. I mean, you operate within your bubble. You do what is best for your team.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think Florida Radio is, you know, freaking out right now the way people are up here in Toronto.
I've noticed that today.
Yeah,
I noticed you on Twitter last night too. I was going to reach out and give you a hug.
I thought you were controlled.
I was trying to be. I mean, saying that I'm Nick Cage from Leaving Las Vegas.
That was the one I was referring to.
Driving an 18-wheeler down Vegas Boulevard, Las Vegas Boulevard, would suggest that there's some level of concern.
There is some
level. But there has to be.
We said the facts, though, too. They are in a playoff spot. This isn't necessarily the 18-wheeler, but the way things are trending, it is not going in the right direction for a team that should be desperate. And we talked about the most important segment of the season and how many games there were. You detailed yesterday how many quality teams they have to play, what number of games, blah, blah, blah. And they just go out there and they just absolutely wiped one away last night. It was a joke.
Yeah, and they did it 2 days earlier in Buffalo. Like, yeah. I can justify you losing to Pittsburgh. Everyone loses to Pittsburgh right now. Everybody. Like, Pittsburgh is red hot. Outside of them running into Tampa,
they look all right, don't they?
They look great. And their record would indicate that. They're ahead at Washington now. But Buffalo? Like, come on. And then if you respond like that against Buffalo, show up against Pitt. Even if you lose, you got to show up. And if you just play the, instead of level of concern, level of confidence, how can anyone be confident they're going to win tomorrow night? Yeah. How can you be confident? And how can they be confident? That's what I want to see. Because they can say it. I want to see them prove it. Because Pittsburgh's confident. You know, Pittsburgh's rolling in tomorrow being like, we got these guys.
Well, and 71 may be back in the lineup.
He could be.
Right? If he wasn't feeling
well. Made the trip.
If he wasn't feeling well, then they would have pumped him full of IV and fluids and sent him home last night, tried to have a good sleep, and he gets on the plane today.
By the way, what's Morgan Riley's next contract worth right now?
Well,
I thought about that the other day in the middle of all this.
Like, what's Freddie Anderson's deal look like?
Yeah.
Because you can go both ways.
Yeah.
Like Freddie, you know, in individual, the thing is about the Anderson conversation, when you watch the individual games, you're like, well, I couldn't do anything about that one, couldn't do anything about that one. But Noodles, like you said the other day, you give up five, you're still like, I gave up five.
Yeah, like I have a tough time.
And not
like,
know necessarily about last night, right, but his numbers are not great.
No, and the numbers don't lie, but you have to look at context. That's the only thing I would say. Like last night, I thought
dangerous
it was
chances. And
I thought it was a stupid narrative online by people just going, "Ma, the Leafs are fine if Anderson just had a 9-10 save percentage." How do you get to 9-10 when you've got backdoor plays and stuff? You've got to look at the quality of shots that he's facing. So I get it, and I'm not going to sit here and say that, you know, the fifth goal's on him. He's got to be better on that.
But the game's over.
The game's over, you're right. But maybe it's not. Maybe you keep it at four and you like, the point is you can control what you can control. But you can't defend five goals against regardless how they go in. Like, as a goalie coach, you're like, you've got to find a way. Sometimes goalies just, you know, they make that ridiculous save at the right time. And that's, you know, Freddie did that earlier in the season.
Can I just say, and I do a lot of my work for base, you know, I'm a national guy. I work with, cover all the teams, but the bulk of my work is either the Leafs or the Habs.
Right.
There's so many similarities in terms of the extreme reactions and the passion.
Yeah.
Two original six Canadian markets.
Yeah.
Who shared a terrible night together last night. I find more than ever, and I don't know if it's because of social media and whatever else, but I find it way more reactionary than ever, even in the 18-wheeler era. When the Leafs were rolling with Sheldon Keefe early, there was this immense, I'm not saying you guys, I mean the fan base, and then just what I'm reading, what I'm feeling, all my friends are Leaf fans. When they were rolling under Sheldon Keefe and the players were quite happy to tell people how happy they were with the coaching change, there was this extreme reaction of where this team, you know, there was a lot of, well, if you do the math on what their record is after 10 games of Sheldon Keefe, they're really this team.
Right, extrapolation.
And I remember just trying to say, whoa, like, small sample size, a lot of talent here, but let's just, so in other words, I felt it went too much that way. And now what I would tell you over the last couple of days, I know how bad it looks. I'm not defending them, but I feel there's been an overreaction on the other end, too.
Yeah, it's fair. Somewhere
they're
going to
find their navel. They're going to find who they are. Do I think they can beat Tampa or Boston? I wouldn't bet on it. But well, they're better. But they're better than what they are right now. I'm telling you right now. There's going to be a stabilizing period with this team before the end of the regular season, and you're going to suddenly feel a bit better about them. I really do feel that.
Yeah, you think they're a contender? Peaks and valleys.
They're a contender in the sense that these days, if you make the playoffs, who knows? Seriously.
Right.
I mean, that's the league now.
Yeah, but when did that actually
But the best two teams in the East are in front of them in the Atlantic. That's a big problem.
And the other two are Pittsburgh and Washington, who you're going to meet one of them in the conference finals.
I agree.
Listen, you're right that if you get in, you could do what Columbus did last year. Right. You could do what Carolina did. But in the end, it was St. Louis, Boston, right? Like, generally speaking, the top four or five teams, they're there in the end. Now, St. Louis was not that around this time last year. 100%. Right. They're starting to chug.
That was an outlier. Though.
Right.
Like that one. Yeah.
But the year before was Washington that won. The year before that,
hold on
Pittsburgh.
For a second.
The year before
you
that,
went quick
Pittsburgh.
On that one.
What, are you going to say Vegas?
No.
They didn't win.
No. That was a complete, no one saw that coming. I'm saying Washington, that's not the year people picked them.
No.
And that's
sure,
easily
but,
forgotten about that year when they finally won. But, that was the year where they actually said, we're going to go younger and we're in a team in transition. I quoted Brian McClellan, the GM, in September of that year saying, we'll see what we are this year. I'm just saying the league is funny that way.
You're right, but Washington was still like a perennial
the bones
playoff
were there.
Team.
Every year.
The bones were, like there was a 100-point team. Like they
yeah.
were.
Hey, Pierre,
like,
the Leafs could do that. They could flip a switch and all of a sudden become something that I don't think they are right now. But mm-hmm. as
yes.
for right now,
well, and that's what
they're
he's
a
saying.
Ways away
that's
from
what
that.
He's saying. Maybe they're somewhere in between, but the stabilizing period, the concern, I guess, I would voice is, what if the stabilizing period takes 10 games? Well, then now you got 10 games. Like, what is Florida doing in those 10 games? Like, you know,
right.
their schedule is a little easier than the Leafs. Like, you're running out of time and you're running out of runway
yep.
and excuses. Like, that's the thing. Like, I have no problem with a loss. But I think what people are pissed off is how they lost. They're watching that going, like, that Pittsburgh team, like, outworked them. Like,
right.
being outworked, I think, frustrates people more than anything.
Absolutely.
Well, and we've mentioned this before. It's interesting, some of the teams that seem to give the Leafs harder time than others. Like, we just talked off air how, you know, Habs fans are beside themselves because they're 0-4 against Detroit. The Habs are also 3-0 against the Leafs.
Right.
And the common denominator in those three games, I find, is that one team's outworking the other.
Yeah.
And that's not a skill thing. That's not a teachable thing. At some point... And I think, again, I believe the Leafs are going to get there. I know I'm the glass half full guy. But there has to be an organic reaction on this team where it's roll up your sleeve time middle of this game when we're down 2-0 as opposed to we're going to outskill this team the rest of the night to get back into this, if that makes any sense.
Well,
there has to be a DNA yes. reaction here where it's like, okay, now we're in the thick of it. Let's go.
But I would argue, Pierre, it has to start before you're down 2-0.
Right.
That's the issue. You know, I was saying earlier.
That's a big picture mentality and approach that's not even close to being
accessible
relevant.
Right now with
yeah.
this team.
Right.
They're not.
Well,
I mean,
he's saying they play the same way all the time. That's the one thing you brought to the table right away.
Yeah.
Whether they're up 5-2, down 5-2, it's like, nah, they, you know, throw them out
there.
Keep
plugging along, doing
right.
your thing,
and
commit to the program.
Sometimes that's great, but sometimes it doesn't. Like, sometimes you want. I saw the vitriol and frustration online where Jason Spezza was the only guy who looked like he was pissed last night.
Played to the end.
Now, whether that's true or not, I'm sure guys care.
I don't think
I'm
Jake
sure.
Muzzin was too thrilled, judging
no,
from his post-game comments.
No, I understand. But,
he wasn't exactly Gretzky.
No,
but like
he
that's,
struggled, too.
Did you not see that same type of, or
yeah,
get that reaction? Where it was like,
I do think that speaks to the composition of the team and the disposition of the players. I mean, a lot, like, John Tavares is not a yell and scream rah-rah guy.
Right.
Matthews
by example.
Isn't. Yeah, William Nylander isn't going to break his stick over the post. I mean, that's just not who they are. It's tough to determine the fire or whatever.
Right.
But, yeah, I did sense that, and I do think that speaks to the emotion that you were speaking of, mm-hmm. Pierre. It's like, well, if I'm mad on the couch, why aren't you mad on the bench?
Right.
Sheldon Keefe was mad. I mean, he was popping off post-game last night. And even when he was asked about who's going to start on Thursday, he's like, we got to think about that. And then today, he's like, oh, it was an easy decision. Freddie starts tomorrow. It wasn't so easy in the scrum when you were heated last night.
Right.
And we'll see what – I agree with you in terms of peaks and valleys. It's been full of them all year. And they
right.
got 21 games left. Chances are they'll peak and valley a couple more times.
And this team may be more than almost any team in the league in
right.
terms of when they look great – they look like an offensive juggernaut, and when they look bad, they look like they have no clue. That's a vast difference.
And that has been an issue recently. All of a sudden, they're not scoring at the same level
right.
that they were
they
were running off big-time wins.
The only thing that worries me now is pre-scouts. Like, teams are ready for the Leafs. Like, Pittsburgh, they didn't go in there thinking, okay, what are the Leafs going to throw at us? They were like, we're going to impose our will. We know exactly how we want to play because we've been playing like this leading up for 60 games. The Leafs have been kind of playing almost a couple different ways this season. I would love to see them play the way they played in Arizona that night when Sheldon Keefe took over. Like, the attention to detail was, like, you could tell the guys were like, you know, they cared. Like, they wanted to, like, it was a will game.
As an aside, with Sidney Crosby having another monster night the other night, I worked the Montreal-Pittsburgh game last week where he destroyed the Habs single-handedly.
Yeah.
He looks like a guy that the silver lining towards his absence has been that he's fresh. And not only that, but I remember when Mike Babcock, when Austin Matthews was a rookie and he showed a young Austin Matthews video of a lot of things Sidney Crosby did away from the puck. He's still, I know that Connor McDavid's now the best player in the world. I guess I know. I don't know what you guys think.
Mm-hmm.
But I was reminded last night that when Sidney's healthy and when he has his energy reserves and he's dialed in and he knows that the real hockey's coming, like that guy... every facet of the game is still the king.
I would treat him going forward any year he wants to play past this one, just like Kawhi Leonard. If they have a comfortable points lead, they make the playoffs, I'd be like, what time do you want off?
Right.
How much time do you need off? And get ready for the playoffs, because that's all that matters.
I mean, last night, he's influencing every little facet of the game, right?
Yeah, you're right.
It's crazy.
Yeah, well, he's been doing it for a while. He's... last night was, but again, I think a lot of it is his greatness. A lot of it was also the Leafs were just pathetic last night.
Yeah, sure.
You know, like he taps in a backdoor wide open. Yeah, you know, it counts as a goal.
Speaking
but
of your backdoor.
Mean, anyone technical, although he stopped at the net, some guys would have floated around the net, and that speaks to
he was making sure that was going in.
He knew it was going in for sure. Yeah. And I'm not taking anything away from what he did. He was spectacular last night.
Yeah, he was.
But
the Leafs need is a top four right-handed D.
That's exactly what they need.
I'm here for the big observations. No, but I wanted to get there since you had me on. I mean, that's my job.
We're, no, but here's another thing about what was happening online. The hashtag FireDude was trending everywhere.
Yeah.
But where does Shanahan come into play on this? Like, we keep talking about Dubas and Shanahan. Like, he's right in there as well. Like, he made his big moves. He picked Dubas.
Yeah.
He allowed Babcock to be fired. He was in the contract room. He was in the room negotiating with Marner. He was right there. So, is he tied to the hip?
No, I mean, I want to have that discussion after if they get waxed in the first round. I feel that's the proper window because now you've had four in a row out in the first round. Let's have that discussion. Again, I don't know if this thing's over.
Right.
Yeah. Just,
no, of course not.
But this is going to fascinate me between now and Monday in terms of the pressure in the Leafs front office not to do something stupid, which I don't think they will. I know that they feel in their hearts, all right, this is what I believe, is that if they can get that the big fish, the top four right-handed D, that it's not just to salvage this year, although that would be the immediate short-term benefit, but it's something that they needed to do this summer anyway, right? Like going into June, that's number one on their plate. Can they do both? Can they kill two birds with one stone? They're making calls, believe me.
Who's the big fish, though? That's what I keep trying to think. So, like, is it Dumba?
So Dumba, Josh Manson, and Ristolainen are the three obvious guys. I will tell you that I do believe there has been at least some level of communication between the Sabres and Leafs. And I think that thing has been left at right now that the two teams can't make that go before Monday, that it's a summer, if they even go back to it, that it would be a summer thing for cap reasons, for all kinds of reasons.
Is that on Ristolainen alone?
Yes.
Or?
Yes. Now, again, who knows? Maybe I'm wrong and they get back at it. I do believe there's been conversation with Minnesota about Dumba. But Bill Guerin has told teams around the league, I want a young center, I need this, I need that. Right now, I'm not seeing the pieces coming from Toronto right now.
Right.
Right.
Josh Manson.
What are they going to do, grow one?
Well, no, so this is the thing. Like, as you go around, that's what it's it's a good exercise to do instead of just saying names, is to try in your head and
they even have what they want.
Yeah, yeah, it's about that fit. You start looking at that whiteboard and going, geez, we'd like here. Okay, who has that? What team has an expendable piece? Or you can force that hand is expendable. Like, the Leafs don't have it. They have a winger.
And Manson to me is an overbuy that, even though I think Bob Murray in Anaheim is really disappointed in his team this year and listening on guys that may surprise you, I think he's one of the cornerstone guys where they say, this guy's one of our heart and soul guys, but blow us away. That's the only way you get him out of Anaheim is an overpay.
Yeah, and that's the issue because, you know, Bob McKenzie said it multiple times that the Leafs are not interested in Sandin, Liljegren, Robertson, a first-round pick. So if you're not going to trade those guys, How are you making a deal where the other team? Yeah, like exactly.
I don't know how you make that deal. It always comes back. It used to always come back to Kapanen or Janssen, but right. Now Janssen's not tradable.
And what
comes
down to Kapanen,
and you're not getting a top four for Kapanen. Kapanen's only a part of a package.
Exactly. What other Canadian team do you expect to be really active? Is there one in particular where you're like, these guys are...
Yeah, Calgary's got to make a move. You know, they were in on Taylor Hall, as you know. They were runners-up on Taylor Hall in December. They tried on Tyler Toffoli, but I don't think as hard as people think, but they tried. I'm told they tried on Brendan Dillon. So now there's tangible proof that they've tried both up front and on the back end here. So that's why I'm saying there's a team that's making calls and trying to see what they can do to help themselves. So I keep an eye on the Flames. I think Vancouver's not done. They made a big trade for Toffoli. I think they still have interest in Wayne Simmonds, by the way. So those two teams are interested. Obviously, Ottawa is a big seller. That's not that exciting. And Montreal's just always fun because there's so much drama. So we'll see what happens with the Canadiens on Monday. Kovalchuk, probably the most compelling situation there.
Mm.
Since you're an insider, what do you think about this? I heard this comment last week. The Dallas Cowboys are willing and ready to get rid of Dak Prescott to get Tom Brady.
Now where did you read that?
Michael Irvin.
That's your boy.
He said it on our air?
That's your boy. No, he didn't say it on TSN, but he was
peddling it. I know he does hits with us.
He was peddling it for sure.
That they're more than willing
would
to
you like
move
him?
Away
would you like
from
TB12?
Dak Prescott.
TB12 as a Cowboy.
Would you like a winner, mon frère?
I'm going to go no.
Really?
Wow.
I respect Tom Brady, but that feels like, what's a great example? That just feels
Marty
like...
Marty Brodeur going to St. Louis?
Well, I think Tom Brady... Yeah, well, yeah.
The only thing I can think of to say is, two-way crazy.
I also like Dak Prescott, so what can I tell
you?
So I don't see the need.
Dak? Like, I know that he's probably asking for... But Dak, he's a good quarterback. He's not a great quarterback,
but he's
a good quarterback.
You can get a guy that's between 8 and 12, and I think that's what he is.
Yeah,
out of 32. Yeah.
Yeah, like, look at his numbers. He doesn't turn the ball over for the most part. I don't know. I think they got to sign him. Like, they might franchise tag him, I guess.
That's the protection they have, yeah.
Yeah. I would sign him, though.
Ooh, they got me excited thinking about the Cowboys. I hadn't thought about them in a while.
8-8, right? Is that how they ended, or 7-9?
8-8.
Yeah. That's too bad.
I think if you look at the definition of 8-8 in the modern NFL, there's like a blue silver star.
Yeah. The NFC East probably.
It's the Browns, but the Cowboys are in there now.
Browns aren't 8-8. They wish they were 8-8.
They would take a few, though.
They weren't even 8-8 in this year when they were supposed to win the Super Bowl, according to Mayfield and Beckham Jr. and your boy.
Well, we got your coach now in Dallas, buddy. So
yeah, I think it's a pretty good hire. I mean, McCarthy? Mike McCarthy, he's good. He's good coach. Like he's won a Super Bowl. It's not easy to win a Super Bowl, man.
It reminds me, I still owe you dinner, which I hate. I don't like when someone's holding something on me like that.
I'm not holding it. I'm not bothering you about
it. Bring it in.
It'll happen.
I'm not kidding. We have to take those guys that we got in the football. We have to buy them dinner, like before the radio. They keep asking me. They're like, you know, we had a side bet for dinner for this elimination pool.
Yeah.
So we got to do it because they're asking, and I know what's going to happen. You're going to be like,
take him to the Mandarin.
We could do that. Let's go. I don't know. We'll figure something out.
We'll just go to Grazzi one night. We'll buy them a plate of spaghetti, and we'll watch a Leaf game, and it'll be.
So we got to go to their spot.
Whatever. Who cares? We just have to pay for it, or I will. You just have to.
I'll pay for it. Although you made the pick that got us knocked out of the pool.
Yeah, that's it.
What pick was that?
Who did he take again? Grappler, remember?
He doesn't know.
We'll look that up.
I thought you did a lot of hedging at the end to protect yourself with all the NFL bets, no?
Well, that was between the two of us.
It was a group decision.
It didn't go so well.
I come up with something, and he says yes or no. I like it. I don't like it. And he said, I like it.
Yeah, it didn't.
I can't remember who we took. I don't remember how we lost. It's heartbreaking, though. We were rolling there for a while.
We were right there.
Yeah. Anyway,
It might have been KC that screwed us.
It could have been.
Yeah
it was a good team tonight? For sure. It was early in the year, so
got some. That's hockey.
No, it Attaboy. Was the Rams.
Sports Center.
It was the Rams.
RDS
against Tampa.
Yeah.
All right, Pierre. Good stuff, buddy.
Love you guys.
Good seeing you, man.
All right.
Have a great few days. More and more trades. Keep them coming. Keep them coming.
I think the main takeaway from my visit today is just to
settle down.
We haven't lost control of our emotions the whole day.
Okay.
We're just being
very even-keeled.
Very open-minded
focused.
About it.
That's
very
right. Good. Playing the guitar with our hair on fire. Very composed.
I saw that tweet.
Very composed. There he is, Pierre LeBrun, our TSN Hockey Insider.